This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Following the death of Pope Francis, condolences are coming in from around the world, and the faithful mourning the loss of the 88-year-old, the first Jesuit elevated to the papacy, and also the first pope from the Southern Hemisphere born outside Europe since the 8th century. Bells tolled from St. Peter's Basilica hours after the Pope made his final public appearance there on Easter Sunday, offering blessings and later riding in an open car through St. Peter's Square. Father John Walk is at the Vatican.
The feeling in St. Peter's, I think, is one of surprise. People are a bit stunned that this news of the Pope's passing should come immediately on the heels of Easter Sunday.
At the White House today, President Trump ordering flags lowered to half staff in his honor across the country and called the Pope a good man. Vice President J.D. Vance had just met with Pope Francis last week. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Head Start centers in Wisconsin have received less money so far in 2025 compared to the same period of time as last year. Senator Tammy Baldwin said that so far, $34.5 million has been sent out so far this year. Last year at this time, nearly $70 million had been provided. Baldwin said that the 50% decrease in funding for Wisconsin Head Start centers is part of the Trump administration's strategy to defund the program to the tune of nearly $1 billion nationwide, causing some centers to close. The La Crosse County Board passed a resolution and sent it to state and federal legislators urging Congress to avoid cutting funds for Medicaid. In particular, the county mentions the potential for losing funding for mandated programs for children and the elderly, skilled nursing services, WIC, and mental health. The resolution states that the proposed federal cuts would devastate the county's budget to continue providing those services, and that the bill may pass too quickly for the public to understand the local impacts. The Enbridge Line 5 project will be fast-tracked and have public hearings this spring after receiving an emergency designation. Tribal leaders said the government was not acting in good faith. Environmental experts are concerned about oil leaks in the Great Lakes and impacts to wetlands in northern Wisconsin. The Trump administration is seeking to expand gas and oil capabilities in the U.S. Bernard Construction, whose owner donated $1 million to President Donald Trump's campaign, was selected to build the pipeline. There are no meetings or activities at City Hall today, but on Monday there are four committees scheduled to hold meetings. The Board of Public Works, Board of Zoning Appeals, Aviation Board, and Board of Harbor Commissioners will meet. There are also meetings later in the week next week for the Redevelopment Authority and Economic and Community Development Commission. With construction season beginning, there have been dozens of rezoning and permit requests for the city government to consider so far in 2025. Today will be about normal for this time of year temperature-wise. We'll top out at the mid-50s in most places. That continues through Sunday when we'll have our next chance of rain in the evening hours. After that, we'll warm up into the mid-60s to low 70s by the middle of next week, with scattered rain chances on most days. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers beat the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the A's 14-1 to take the series 2-1. 23-year-old right-hander Logan Henderson, making his major league debut on the mound, gave up only 3 hits, 1 run. He struck out 9 over 6 innings.
I don't know if I can sum it up yet. I mean, I'm just super thankful, man. It's accumulation of a lot of hard work and a lot of people that have believed in me. And just got to thank all my family, friends, and everybody who's helped me get to this position.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Oh, he was great, you know. You guys saw it, 6 innings, and yeah, it's the best I've ever seen him throw. I never have watched the success he's had, so it's great to see.
The Brewers on the road tonight in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks reviewing what went wrong in that 117-98 loss to the Pacers Saturday. Game 2 of the series tomorrow night in Indianapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Still battling a brutal wind today, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour under mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures stay mild, though, scraping the low 50s before we warm things up to about the mid-60s tomorrow. But chances of scattered showers and some thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hipp, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, a discussion of the harm that's coming if President Trump sells off a bunch of public forest lands and fires more national parks workers.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, April 21st, 2025. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along for the world headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Overcast skies. Mr. Zommers, a little rain, a little April showers, as they say. And then by the middle, Wednesday is supposed to be spectacular. Sunny skies and upper 60s at least. So in that time of year. Have a nice Easter weekend.
I did. Got to spend some time with family, meet a new addition to the family, a couple-week-old baby named Oliver.
Congratulations.
And no deviled eggs this time, but that's okay. You know, you just can't win them all. What about you?
A nice weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about hour two. Is back in the Richland Center. Service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Richland Center. Very nice service. Pastor Michelle, congrats to her. Always a big deal for pastors, priests, that sort of thing. It's the big day of the year, Christmas and Easter. And so a very nice service there. And then a lovely dinner at Mom's. A shout out to my youngest niece, Isabel, who's graduating Eau Claire Memorial High School this year, and she has made a decision. She is going to UW-Stout this fall. So congratulations to her, and got to see my oldest niece, Addison, as well. So great family weekend. We'll talk about that more in Hour 2. But right now, lots of news to get to today. Speaking of Hour 2, we'll have a little fun with what's worse, the bad breath or body odor edition. How about that? At 12:34... coming up later this half hour, Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director. Lots of changes to the WIAA coming. We'll talk to Jimmy about that. But right now we welcome via StreamYard from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, our friend and ongoing contributor, a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin, great attorney, Navy veteran, and an author as well. And today, nothing more prescient than one of his great books called Confessions of a Church Leader in Defense of Christianity. The one, the only, Matt Flynn joins us from Milwaukee. Matt, good afternoon to you, my friend.
It's good to be with you, Todd and Aaron. It's been a while, and it's always great to be on the Todd Albaugh Show.
Well, we're very thankful to have you come on short notice today. But, of course, the breaking news story of the morning, or at least overnight, the passing of Pope Francis. And Matt, as a practicing Catholic, and you've defended the Catholic Church in court before yourself, before we get into all the details, just as a Catholic, as an individual, you personally, upon hearing the news this morning, what were your first thoughts?
I felt very sad. I think that Pope Francis was a great man. And the truth of the matter is that over the last 50 years, we've had much more conservative popes. I refer to them as counter-reformation popes. Then we've had Pope Francis, we had Pope John the 23rd, who were more liberal, and I would refer to them as Renaissance popes. But Pope Francis was very special. What he did was he liberalized the church, And he liberalized the church. He appointed cardinals who were much more liberal, so that when they vote, many people don't know it, but every cardinal under the age of 80 can vote for the Pope in the next Pope. Under the age of 80, there's about 126 of them. And Pope Francis appointed many of them and did not appoint any truly conservative or reactionary cardinals. So I think that we are going to have a good convocation and a good successor to Pope Francis.
As a kid who grew up Methodist, and I guess I would say non-denominational, my mom's at, as I said in the open there, St. John's Lutheran Church at Michelin Center, but a person of faith. I've always, there was actually a time, Matt, in my life as a teenager, I had a brief kind of foray. I thought about, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be a priest? Because I'm drawn to the pomp and circumstance of the tradition of the Catholic Church, and I think there is something to be said for kind of a security in a foundation when everything else in life is crazy. And one of my closest friends is Catholic, a longtime practicing Catholic, lifelong. And I've gone to Easter masses. I've gone to Christmas masses. And there's something just soothing and calming about it. So I think even for those of us who didn't grow up Catholic, there is a certain connection to the Pope and the Catholic Church. What I was struck, and I want your thoughts on this particular Pope seemed to me from the outside to embody the essence of Christianity and walk in Christ's shoes, the humility, choosing to live in a two-room apartment, a guest house in the Vatican, and not the palatial, 10, 11-room palace in the Vatican, choosing to carry his own bag and kind of goading the other cardinals and priests. Hey, if I'm doing it, you better do it too. And he going to the prison and washing the feet of prisoners on Maundy Thursday and not the feet of other priests. He seemed to set an example. And I'll shut up. The last thing, when he sat on his plane one time and talking about gay folks in the Catholic Church, at the end he said, "But hey, who am I to judge?" I've never heard a priest with that sort of humility before.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head, and I admired him a great deal. For one thing, remember, he's from Argentina. He was the first non-European pope since the 8th century. And the truth of the matter is that he grew up in Argentina during all the troubles down there. He had a much more balanced worldview. And he said, as far as gay people, that they had a right to family, and he advocated for gay people. He also pointed out that the celibacy rule was not in the Bible, and it's not a matter of church doctrine. It's just custom, and that it easily, you know, there are people don't know this, but there are Catholic priests who are married and have kids. Mm. They are former ministers or Episcopal priests who converted, and they brought their families with them. So he challenged us on many, many fronts, including female clergy. The book of mine that you alluded to, Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity, is my observation about Pope Francis and how he liberalized the church and started to clean up the abuse scandal. And anybody interested in Pope Francis, you may want to read that, because I was the lawyer for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee for 15 years.
And I think that's another great point, is that the Catholic Church, certainly there are instances within the church where there was abuse, and it's important. And Pope Francis never shied away from that. In fact, he tried, I think, in my opinion, from the outside, to take that on. And I think it's important in any organization of faith, heck, in any organization, there is always going to be some form of abuse, whether it's financial, whether it's sexual impropriety, however it is. But here is a pope that said, hey, guess what? We as Catholics aren't perfect, and we need to do better, and we need to have real reform. That's from an outsider, Matt. What would be your take as a Catholic?
No, I think that's very, very accurate. And the thing about him was, he was totally honest. I mean, he was totally what you saw is what you got. He didn't. There was no guile to him. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of times in politics, and the church is a political organization. I mean, it's exactly like the cardinals are like the senators. You know, the next one wants to be pope, and they maneuver. If you saw the recent movie about it, it was a very, very good movie.
Now I want to go back and watch Conclave because I heard it's a great movie.
It has a surprise ending.
Right? All right, we won't give it away.
No, I'm not giving it away. That said, Pope Francis was above that, and he's one of the shining lights of the papacy over the last 2,000 years. we're sorry to miss him, give you a little bit of a hint. There was some initial thought that the Archbishop, the Cardinal from Manila, believe it or not, an Asian, would be the next pope. In other words, the thing about the Catholic Church is it's really international.
Right.
You know, there will be an African pope. There will be an Asian pope. There was a South American pope. So stand by for some very, very interesting conclaves.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you. We're talking with Matt Flynn via StreamYard right now, a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney, a Navy veteran, and author. One of his great books, one of many, you can get him on Amazon, Confessions of a Church Leader in Defense of Christianity, literally wrote, maybe not, I'll call it the book, but certainly a book on Pope Francis. I was watching the coverage this morning, Matt, as it was breaking as I was getting up, and there's all this talk now who is next. There's some people saying that the next pope may be a placeholder pope. Maybe explain to people that aren't familiar with the Catholic Church what that means, and then other people are saying no, because of your point earlier, because Pope Francis has, I'm going to use the word nominated or put in place, about 80% of the cardinals who elect the next one, that they're not going to go back to some very, very conservative doctrine type of pope. Give us some insight on what might be next.
Right. You know, so this placeholder business, they always say that. The funniest one in history was when they said Pope John the 23rd would be a placeholder, and he convened Vatican II and he disrupted everything.
Right.
So you can't, once the person gets in, you can't say what he's going to be. In this particular case, I'm expecting that they may look very seriously at Asia and Africa for a pope to emphasize the international aspect of the church. But even if they don't, it's inconceivable to me that they would elect a pope who is like Benedict or who is like John Paul II, because going back to that kind of conservatism nowadays would be disastrous. I think the church realizes that, and the people that Pope Francis appointed as cardinal, who will be the electors, are much more in his line of thought.
And just kind of a final thought for me at least is, it doesn't really matter, I don't think, whether it's Catholic or Protestant, that many churches across America are seeing a steep decline in their parishioners. And look, as you said, there's a certain amount of politics to all religions and a certain amount of, I'll call it even entertainment or show business, that the homilies, that the masses, that the preachers of the Protestant side, the services, many of them now with the non-denominational churches. I mean, it's lights, it's live bands, it's video screens, and that, in order for the Catholic Church in particular to not only just grow but survive, that they need a leader who's more in tune with 2025, with young people, who's going to be more open-minded without completely throwing out the long-standing tradition of the Catholic Church.
No, that's very, very true. And one of the things I liked about Pope Francis more than anything, because he was, 88? I mean, he's not a young guy. But the thing about
him
was—
In the U.S. Senate, they call that just getting going.
Yeah, he'd be a freshman.
Right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, but the second thing is that he invited the Archbishop of Canterbury and the head of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland on the papal plane, and the three of them flew to Somalia and Sudan to preach, preach Christianity, but more importantly, to preach compassion, to preach the end of war, and to preach wealthy nations helping and feeding them. It was a wonderful ecumenical signal. And unfortunately, that's being lost right now when we have an administration that's canceling U.S. aid and canceling all this stuff. And so I think that the signal that has to come out of all the principal Christian churches has got to be compassion, has got to be unity, and has got to be the sanctity of the individual. And he did that, and I think young people can spot that. Mm-hmm. And I think you're absolutely right. The new pope may be a much younger pope, actually.
Matt Flynn, author of Confessions of a Church Leader in Defense of Christianity, his thoughts on the passing of Pope Francis. We'll take a quick break, come back with Matt's thoughts on what's happening in Washington, D.C., in particular, the courts. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for matinee on air.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 817-9129. 800-217-9129.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. No, it's Matt Flynn Direct on the Todd Almost Show. 21 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, April 21st, 2025. Whenever you hear Johnny Cash on this show, you know that our friend Matt Flynn is not far behind. He is a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney, a great author. He's a great author. I am not a great reader of my own writing. The book that we are talking about here a little bit, or we were in the last segment, on to mark the passing of Pope Francis earlier today, the book is called Confessions of a Church Lawyer. Not leader, but lawyer. Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. You can find it wherever books are sold. Sorry about that, Matt.
Yeah, well, thanks. No, and I enjoyed writing the book, but it's a testimony to Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. He came in and cleaned up a lot of things. He appointed very, very liberal cardinals, and he tried to liberalize the church as much as he could.
Yeah. We'll continue to follow this as the conclave unfolds. First, of course, a time of mourning, and there'll be a funeral for Pope Francis, and then the conclave begins. And Matt, maybe we'll have you back on as that gets closer to kind of walk us through that as we get closer.
Great.
Are you a candidate, Matt? Can you you've run for many things? I think you make a great pope.
If you took a poll in Madison, I might get no votes. In fact, I hope I get no votes because it would show the good sense of Madison. I am not a candidate, and right. I will not serve.
If nominated, you will not run, and if elected, you will not serve. But you look great in a white robe. I'm just saying, you know. All right. In all seriousness, want to turn to just. We have a few minutes left here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have Jimmy Cuska on talking about changes at the WIAA. But Matt, a lot has happened on this Kilmer Garcia story. You were on when this first broke, when Trump sent three plane loads of allegedly Venezuelan gang members to El Salvador. Federal judge said, time out. You might be able to do it, but you got to give these guys due process. Trump said no. The president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, being paid $6 million plus now to take these folks. The Supreme Court since then has basically said, no, you have to give them due process. I feel we're in a constitutional crisis here, Matt Flynn. What say you?
Yeah, that's true. And let me tell you what's happening, because this reminds me of the Reichstag back in 1933. The senators and the congressmen are standing by and putting up with this stuff. Here's the danger. He's kidnapping people off the streets right now who are not citizens, and they're foreigners. And look, many of them may be members of the gang. I get it. But you don't just do that and send them to a torture prison, because the next people up, he said, he'll send our prisoners, citizens.
US
and
citizens.
If that happens, yeah. He's going after Mr. Krebs and others who opposed him in the last administration. And once they're convicted, he'll send them. He'll send his political opponents. This guy has got to be stopped right now. It doesn't matter. Once they're in our territory, even if illegally, you don't kidnap them. You arrest them, and you can send them to Guantanamo as long as we have jurisdiction over Guantanamo. Try them. You can try them in a military tribunal. But you don't send them to a torture prison. Period. End of story. And this guy is blowing off the federal courts. Now and I'm afraid Clarence Thomas and Alito are with him no matter what he does.
Plus, so that seems to be it right over the weekend.
It is it. And yeah. So I talk about the six tarantulas. Two of them truly are tarantulas. The other four may be pussyfooting around.
They're salvageable. They're salvageable.
No, they're maybe salvageable, but they're unsightly looking critters because, I mean, you're going to have.
Legally speaking, yeah.
Americans. With American citizenship snatched off the street. Got to stop. They did it in Germany.
And that's the thing that I think that we've talked about on our show. I've heard on other shows. I heard a longtime Republican on, we'll just say it, another network, on another show, say, oh, this is great for Republicans. I hope Democrats keep talking about this, because what they want to make it about, the Republicans, in my opinion, is this whole quote-unquote legal versus illegal issue. In my opinion, Matt, it ain't about that. I mean, over the weekend, I think it was a Good Friday, right? Trump took a picture of this guy, Kilmar Garcia, that for all everything that we know from the courts, this guy ain't guilty of being in a gang and has no business being held down in the gulags in El Salvador. And they had a photo, they took a picture of his hand, which, yes, does have a couple of tattoos on it, but they clearly photoshopped MS-13 on his knuckles. Trump shows that in the Oval Office on Good Friday, and it's all over social media. It is a fallacy, Matt, and to your point, it's dangerous, because what they don't want folks to know is what you said. This is about due process for all of us.
Right, and by doing that, by putting out the fake knuckle picture, there's a lot of people who are not listening to your show. They're not reading the newspapers. They'll look at that and they say, oh, okay.
Right.
He is deliberately implanting false information.
Bingo.
Propaganda. And for a president to do that, he should be impeached. This guy is a serious ongoing threat to the United States.
And we've
seen it.
Doesn't
matter.
We've seen people being disappeared in the Twin Cities. I talked to a friend out in Los Angeles. This is happening on the streets of L.A. Plainclothes people in masks, no identification, snatching people off the street, gone, disappeared. And to your point, you know, he says in the White House to Bukele last week, oh, well, we'll just the really bad Americans will take down El Salvador. Well, geez, who has he said is really bad? Joe Biden, Liz Cheney, General Milley.
Krebs, right.
Right? Right. I mean,
that's right. His enemies, and that's what's going to happen. The next, he's already said, are going to be American citizens. And the thing about due process isn't that even this guy Garcia, he may be a bad guy. Okay.
Right.
Keep him in the United States or in Guantanamo. Try him. Take a look at least what the heck he's alleged to have done. And even though they falsified his knuckles, if he is a member of a gang, fine. But the point is that we'll get rid of him. But the falsified knuckles, give me a break. Give me a break.
And this whole narrative about MS-13, look, I don't have time to go into it. I've been there 39 times over 25-plus years. The way it happened prior to Bukele, and I'll give Bukele credit, that the gangs went to each house when this boy's turned 16, knocked on the door, said it would be terrible if Jose came back with blood on his shoes. So he either joins our gang or you pay $50 a month for us to protect him. That's real. And that's so when I hear that this guy Garcia, right. Well, he's a member of every 16-year-old in El Salvador had to make a choice, die or join a gang. So this narrative is crazy. 30 seconds, Matt, give us a hot tip.
Here's a hot tip. In the upcoming Supreme Court race next April, there are a number of people, including some judges, who have told Judge Bill Pocan in Milwaukee that they would support him if he ran. He's an outstanding judge. Keep an eye on Bill Pocan of Milwaukee, an outstanding judge who is considering it.
Wow, that is a hot tip. Haven't heard that. Bill Pocan of Milwaukee considering the race for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Matt Flynn always has the inside information, and he makes a smile. Matt Flynn, thank you so very much. Appreciate you, my friend.
See you next time. Thanks.
See you next time, Matt Flynn. Stay tuned. Jimmy Cuska at the WIAA is next on the All Balls Show on Civic Media. Against the law.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
In recent years, there's been a huge push to help with healthcare in rural communities. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and I had the opportunity to speak with Bob Madsen, the Vice President of Rural Vitality with Compeer Financial, about some projects that they've been working on to better rural healthcare here in Wisconsin.
Within the last 2 years, we actually completed a financing of a new replacement critical access hospital in Cumberland, Wisconsin, along with local community bank on that project as well. And another one that's coming up for a grand opening in the near future is the new Lafayette County Hospital in Darlington, Wisconsin. They are just finishing up construction this spring and will be opening. And at the present, are planning a grand opening sometime in June of this year. And that is also a brand new full replacement hospital and medical clinic.
Madsen also says that their biggest goal is to help better agriculture in rural America as a whole. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo. We'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at how the markets are moving midday on this Monday. A bit of a mix today as cash corn is up 2 cents at 484 and a quarter, with new crop corn remaining even at 466. Cash soybeans are down 5.5 at 1031, with new crop soybeans also down 5.5 at 1027. May wheat contracts are down 6.75 at 542, with July wheat down 6.25 at 556. Class 3 milk contracts in May are showing gains, up 38 cents at 1868 a hundredweight, and June Class 3 milk contracts are up 28 cents at 1771 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Still battling a brutal wind today, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour under mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures stay mild, though, scraping the low 50s before we warm things up to about the mid-60s tomorrow. But chances of scattered showers and some thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and Black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
That first Earl Ingram. Ingram.
It's the final episode of the Earl Ingram Show. I want to thank everyone. I'll share on how to stay connected, and then attorney Scott Harris will join me in the studio to share his inspiring story.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for a Monday, the 21st of April, 2025. Glad to have you along. 34 past the hour of 12 noon. Many thanks to Matt Flynn for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with him and always a pleasure to talk with our next guest. He is Civic Media's sports director, amongst many other things that he does in the sports world. Mr. Jimmy Cusco joins us on StreamYard for beautiful Southwest Wisconsin Boscobel. Along the hitherto unknown fact, a lot of people, Boscobel is the turkey hunting capital of the world. How about that, right, Jimmy Cusco?
Don't I know it, because our first weekend we're doing summer or spring flag football, and it was the youth turkey hunt weekend, and I want to say a third of our team was out hunting turkeys.
So. I was going to say a low roster. That was not a great
timing. I almost had to go throw passes.
But no, it's a big deal, and for people in more urban areas of our listenership across the state, they might not get it. But this is a huge deal and kind of a rite of passage in Southwest Wisconsin, that a lot of young kids in their teens, they've taken firearm safety. You have to pass that, or you go with a parent or whatever. And for me, I occasionally still turkey hunt, but for me, it's just being outside. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, down here, this part of the state, it's a lot like where I grew up in northwestern Wisconsin, where, there are certain hunting seasons or fishing, if that's your thing, mm-hmm. that people plan their lives around. They have cabins built specifically for going out and doing this. They have land just for doing this. It's a lot like the other rural parts of the state. It's just down here, it happens to be turkey and trout. Like, that's right. New to me, because those weren't big things where I grew up. But it's really cool, because I think in Wisconsin, we have such an abundant way of getting outside, like you said, and enjoying what the state has to offer. I'm all for it. I don't personally hunt myself, but I really enjoy the fact that there are kids that are not just sitting around a PlayStation on the weekend. They're out and doing something.
Exactly.
Like, that's awesome.
Exactly right. Jimmy, lots of our youth are involved in high school sports all across the state. WIAA, you always keep track of that for us. You do some coaching yourself, in addition to, it's pretty much you, Phil Nee at WRCO, and Chad Holmes up at WXCO in Wausau. The three of you are always on the air calling something, and I always appreciate you coming on and updating us. Tell us what the big stories are coming up here at WIAA for our high school athletes here in 2025.
This is a big week for the WIAA. It's the annual meeting, and this is where the member schools gather in Stevens Point or virtually, and they get to vote on a number of amendments and do their like any other organization that has an executive board, your business meeting. So you go through your minutes, you go through your business stuff, your awards, announcements, etc. But the five amendments are usually, this year anyway, the amendment portion is usually what draws the most attention, because these are the proposed changes that have gone through the various committees, the board of control, and everything else. They have to go through three or four levels to get to a point before they're in front of membership. And there are five amendments on the table this year. And one of them is going to be, I think, pretty familiar, because it was on the agenda last year and the exact same form, and that is name, image, and likeness. Now, Todd, in college, we've seen what this has done in college, right? This has created bidding wars for top players, or not even top players, just random players, to be honest. I mean, there's thousands of kids in the transfer portal right now waiting to go to a new college. The way it's being done in high schools, though, across the nation, is a lot different than the college model. And Wisconsin's actually one of the last states to adopt this. I think there's only seven states that haven't adopted some form of NIL policy at its membership level, their state association level. So Wisconsin's a little bit behind the game. They were last year too. I think 33 states at this point last year had, I think this year it's a little over 40. I don't know if there's conflicting numbers, but it's right around 42. So Wisconsin's one of the last seven or eight states to actually have this policy. So membership will vote this year. It failed last year, mostly because a lot of administrators got up to the mic and said they didn't have enough time to educate their stakeholders, their coaches, their communities about the impacts of this and what it would mean for them locally. Well, now we've had a year and 2 months. We've had 14 months to consider it. And the expectation, just based on people I talked to, being at the a football coaches clinic earlier this month, the general feeling is that this is going to pass this time, because if it doesn't pass this time, there are a couple of states where it also failed in its membership. And then the state legislature got involved. And you don't want the state legislature getting involved.
Not these
it's something like this.
And let's just kind of set the table a little bit for those listeners who might not be sports-minded when we hear NIL or name image like this. For that, in my opinion, we've had Brady Ewing from Richland Center, former Wisconsin Badger football player, and spent three years in the NFL talk about this, that when Brady was playing, you chose a university out of high school or whatever, and then you stuck with it for 4 years. If you wanted to transfer to a different one, you had to sit out from play on the field for a year, and then you could do it. And, of course, back then, players couldn't even accept, you know, literally a bottle of water from a recruiter because that had a value and you could have all kinds of penalties. Now, of course, and partly thanks to what Nigel Hayes at Wisconsin in the basketball program years ago for bringing this up, now the courts have ruled players could get basically endorsement deals and everything else, and they can transfer at almost any time and not sit out. So that's what we're talking about, that has changed the college scape. And a lot of people, Jimmy, are fearful that if you bring that into Wisconsin high schools, that suddenly now bigger schools, say, you know, a private school like Notre Dame out in Green Bay, which has a lot of money, that they're going to poach a kid that's playing in Shawano, let's say 30 miles away, and say, hey, come over to our school. We'll give you a cash and a brand new Chevy truck. Is that the kind of stuff that we could potentially see in Wisconsin high school sports?
Quick anecdote, Brady Ewing, by the way, his sons are in the same soccer league as my son is. So I actually sat next to him on Saturday watching soccer in Richland Center. So
he's a great guy. He comes on this show. We love him to death. And his brother, Brandon. So,
anyway, that's a quick anecdote. I that's funny you brought him up. Anyway, there's a couple of things that I want to call attention to here. First of all, in college, yes, the rules are very loose. So, like, you know, transfers, there are students that are transferring to four different schools in their high school career,
college career,
I should say. You have college, not high school, college career, which is pretty crazy. Yeah. In high school, they have a couple of things that are going to slow this whole thing down and make this a little more restrictive. First of all, there is a transfer rule in Wisconsin where if your parents don't move, they don't physically move into a new district, you actually have to sit out a year too. So there is a high school transfer rule where you have to sit out. A lot of times, a parent will move, get an apartment in whatever city they're going to. If it's really going to be for athletics, they're probably just going to rent an apartment or something, right? The people with means to do this would probably just do that, right? That's kind of the doom and gloom scenario of people who are against this. But typically, if you transfer, you can't just open enroll in a new district and just play right away. Mm-hmm. There's a transfer especially for older students. There's a transfer rule that restricts that. You can still play JV. I mean, you can't play varsity level sports when you transfer. So that's one part in which the WIAA sort of restricts that player movement piece. But the other part of it, the NIL piece, the way that it's drawn up in Wisconsin, and by the way, you'll see the full amendment piece up on our civic media websites. And you can also visit the WIAA website to fully grasp the language of this. Mm-hmm. But the NIL thing, case in Wisconsin is very restricted because first of all, a student can't represent their school, their sport, their conference, or the WIAA in any NIL advertisement or marketing. So if I'm a student athlete and I'm playing football, I can't be sitting there holding a football in front of the high school or anything. No association with your school teams or any of that stuff. So that's your personal brand,
so to speak. That's it.
Yes, okay. It's just you. So if people recognize your name, image, and or likeness, that's your value, right?
Right.
The other part of this, too, is that coaches, school members, anybody who has donated money to a booster club or to the school in any capacity, you're not allowed to contribute to NIL. So this is the big part that has people conflicted, is that if you've ever donated to the program in some way, whether it's been through a bake sale or a cash donation or anything like that, any way they can track it, you're not allowed to contribute to NIL for a high school student athlete.
Really?
This is the piece that really restricts where the money's going to come from. So in your example, if a school program is like, hey, we got a vehicle we're going to give to this student athlete to come over here and play soccer for us or something. That just isn't going to happen because a lot of the people already involved in high school athletics are already donating time and money to programs. So there's going to be, it's going to be a very interesting way to see how people, kind of work through that. Mm-hmm. I know that the WIAA has signed up with an NIL collective to sort of help this.
All right.
But another part of it too is that like coaches and school staff, anybody that works for a school, even a volunteer like me, you can't be an agent. You can't refer people, like, you know, to NIL deals. So there's a lot of different restrictions on NIL in Wisconsin where it's not going to be this free-flowing deal like it is in college athletics, high school athletics. I feel like with the restrictions in place are pretty well protected, especially the rule on donations. That really restricts the pool of potential NIL endorsements.
And we're talking to Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, about name, image, and likeness possibly coming to Wisconsin this year. One more question I have, just as a, I don't know, I find it fascinating. But let's say you have Joe's Dodge Ram dealership, and Joe Smith is the one who donates $1,000 a year to put their name up next to the scoreboard in the football field. But Joe has a partner, and so the partner, the husband, the wife, whoever it might be of Joe, are they eligible to donate? So it's not the actual person, it's not the same person, but it's someone who might share a bank account or have access to it.
Yeah, that would make the student athlete ineligible. The rule, it's not this big sprawling legal definition, right? But typically a family is considered part of that donation, especially if they share finances or co-own a business. That would fall under this pretty easily.
All right. And who's
that's
gonna,
an easy answer. I don't want to spend a lot of time.
No, I think that's
I'm not a legal scholar, I'm not a legal mind, but it's pretty clear.
Because you and I both know when these things happen, there's always going to be someone who finds a way around it. And I think from people I've talked to, you know them better than anybody else. There might be a dozen, I guess you go basketball and football, the two big sports. There might be 25 athletes throughout Wisconsin in girls and boys sports that are the rock stars. And the fear is that those kids are going to end up with big NIL money. And on those teams, it's kind of going to be like, well, Joe or Jane gets all that, and it's just going to create bad feelings.
Yeah, there's going to be an equity in this. I think this rule is really designed for the 0.01% of high school student athletes that are probably going to a Division I college. They're going to compete at the highest level. Maybe they're going pro. You know, this is really what this is geared around. The numbers that they cited for ineligibility cases at the WIAA in the last year's meeting, so it would be for like 2 or 3 years ago, it was a little over a dozen kids would have been eligible under the current proposed NIL rule. So we're talking about a really small number of students that are probably affected by this.
All right. All I care about is when this is legal, I'm going to help sponsor Parker Klein basketball, because all he wants is custard from Culver's. He doesn't want money. Just wants a free dish of custard, being an NIL deal for Culver's, and I'm his agent. And I get nothing
Same.
Out of
I'm
it.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm right. with you.
A couple minutes left before the first break, Jimmy. Give us another point here, then we'll come back and discuss it.
Sure. I think the one that might affect the people that have students that are actually playing sports is that there is an amendment on the table for this week that's going to be voted on that would free up summer contact. So summer contact is when a coach can actually instruct a student athlete outside of season, outside of sport, whatever, from June 1st to July 31st. So in the past, it's been 5 days. You have 5 days. And what constitutes coaching contact? It doesn't have to be an organized practice. It's something as simple as if you're, say, a coach supervising a weight room session, and a kid's like, hey, how do you shoot a free throw, right? You want to show a kid how to shoot a free throw. And you go, and he's like, oh, you got to get your knees, you got to get your shoulders square, and your release point is here. That's a coaching contact day. So you lose a whole day for that sport for coaching contact if you show one person how to shoot a free throw. So the rule is proposed because the gray area in this is that the enforcement isn't up to really the WIAA. They don't have people hanging out in gyms during the summer. They don't have people at fields during the summer making sure that, are you a coach? Are you a coach? Are you on this team? They're not doing that. It's all reported by the schools. It's self-reported. And the way the rule is intended, I think anyway, is that it's going to free up some of the headaches that administrators at schools have to deal with in determining whether it's coaching contact or not coaching contact. That's really the crux of it, is that they're trying to lessen that load on administrators. But as I learned at the coaching clinic, the football coaching clinic earlier this month, there are a lot of feelings both ways on this one. And I think this one, not NIL, but I think this one will probably be the most contentious vote at the annual meeting this Friday.
Yeah, and of course we're talking about contact in terms of reaching out and helping a kid, not like football contact or whatever. But
no, it's not like padded practice.
Right, right.
It's something as simple as you kick a soccer ball at the inside of your foot. That's right. Coaching contact.
If the late great Elvitus Rip, my football coach from Richland Center, were still around, I'm sure he would look at this and say, "Oh, geez, no contact. You might as well go play soccer." Yeah. He was not a fan of soccer back in the day. All right, we'll come back, talk to Jimmy Cuska more about sports. You're listening to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In one of his most bone-chilling orders to date, President Donald Trump directed the U.S. Department of Justice and other agencies to open an investigation of Christopher Krebs, the former head of the Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency. Krebs' alleged crime? Publicly refuting Trump's unfounded claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Trump's April 9th memorandum reads in part, Krebs, through CISA, falsely and baselessly denied that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen, including by inappropriately and categorically dismissing widespread election malfeasance and serious vulnerabilities with voting machines, unquote. On November 12, 2020, Krebs had posted a joint statement from the Elections Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council and the Election Infrastructure Sector Coordinating Executive Committees, which said the November 3rd election was the most secure in American history, and there was no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. The two groups represent CISA, secretaries of state, state election directors, and numerous election technology and cybersecurity organizations. In addition to ordering the investigation, Trump stripped Krebs' security clearance and that of Sentinel One, the cybersecurity company where Krebs worked until his resignation April 16th. We have Trump's disturbing memo at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Nobody more fun than Civic Media than our sports director, Jimmy Cuska. He joins us from Boscobel, Wisconsin via StreamYard talking sports. Before we get back to the WIAA annual meeting, Jimmy, you fielded questions already here. Dan in Wausau listening up there. Well, he's listening on WAUK, but he is in Wausau. He says, we need a shot clock in high school basketball yesterday. The WIAA probably knows it, but doesn't change it, obviously. Jimmy, what do you say?
Beginning of the school year, the WIAA Board of Control, which, by the way, is made up of mostly administrators from around the state, they voted against it. So, again, this year. But I will say this, there are a lot of schools that have, you know, if they've managed to pass the facilities referendum and it included a gym, they have added the shot clock to it, and that includes right here in Boscobel. There's a shot clock ready to go for when the state actually adds it, because Wisconsin is, like other things, among the last holdouts for it. Now, shot clock is split almost 50-50 among high schools in the state, but Wisconsin will be there. Its neighbors are already starting in various stages. Mm-hmm. It'll be here. It might not be for a few years.
I don't know the answer to this question. That's why I'm asking it. But the AAU, the non-WIAA leagues, do they use a shot clock?
I think it depends on the venue they're in. Some venues have it and some don't, especially here in Wisconsin. But they're typically using college venues. I think they do. A lot of tournaments do it. Like, I know in Illinois, when they launched this, they started with just, like, holiday tournaments and things just to kind of get used to it, to kind of work it in. So if the venue has it, I think they do for the most part. But yeah. I'll be honest, I don't follow a lot of AAU. So that I think that's more of a venue/mutual agreement kind of situation.
I just think it makes sense. I mean, who wants to stand there and watch a kid just hold on to a ball for 90 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever? I mean, come on, get with the times, folks. All right, Jimmy, what else is coming up? You've got one. This one, I love this one, involving the fans, because I, for one, am sick and tired of these parents. And this has gotten to the point where verbally abusive to the referees, to coaches, to kids. And it's about darn time we take these things on. Tell us about it, Jimmy.
Yep. So the WIAA a few years ago put in a one-game ban for anybody kicked out of a high school game. If you're, if the official, the game manager says you're out of line, you're out of here, you got to miss one more game. Well, that's staying put. The amendment this year that's up for membership vote, and I think this will pass pretty easily, is that in addition to being kicked out for a game on top of, you know, the game you're in, one additional game from that venue, you now have to take a sportsmanship course through the NFHS, which is the United States governing organization for high school sports, right? You now have to take the sportsmanship course. You got to do it online, obviously, but you have to take it, have the certificate that proves you pass it before you're let back into that venue. For, you know, first of all, awesome, because fan behavior is out of line. It just is. I know this as a coach. I had someone yelling at me about a special teams play. I'm a volunteer. I turned around, took my hat and my clipboard, and I handed it to him. Like, if you want to do this, I'm here for volunteering my time. You can do it. Fan never said a word to me after that for the rest of the year, right?
Jimmy, I don't even call these people fans. I mean, they're, to your point, so many of our coaches, youth coaches especially, are getting nothing for this. And sometimes they're even using their own money to buy basic equipment for the team if the boosters don't come through or whatever. Our officials aren't making big money. They're getting a stipend at best to pay for a burger and maybe their gas to the thing. And these idiot fans who are harassing coaches and are harassing officials and using profanity, I got no time for it. None. Zero.
Same. I completely respect the work officials do, even as a coach. I'm not an official. In our company, we have one of the best officials in the state, and that's
Henry Bray.
Not even in a – it's objectively – he's one of the – he just got an award for baseball umpiring.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a lot of people from all walks of life that are taking part as officials in sports, as coaches. Nobody in Wisconsin as a coach or an official is making a lot of money. Head coach in our district makes $4,000 to coach a football season, right?
Yeah.
That's nothing. Yeah. There's Texas, you make $135,000. A little bit different, right?
Right.
Here, you get a few thousand dollars if you're, you know, on top of your teaching paycheck. I really feel like anything that addresses fan behavior is a step in the right direction. Yeah. I think this one passes almost unanimously, if not everybody's saying yes to it.
100% agree on that one. A couple minutes left, Jimmy. Where do you want to go? Want to talk Brewers? You want to talk what else? The draft's coming up? What do you want to talk about?
You know, I think I mentioned the draft. I think the NFL draft being in Wisconsin is a really, really big deal. And I think you get a big event like this. Green Bay's never getting a Super Bowl. We'll just put that out there, right? Mm-hmm. Green Bay's not getting a Super Bowl until global warming makes it 80 degrees in February in Green Bay, right? It's just not happening.
Next year. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, a few years maybe. Yeah. We get the draft. And if you look at the kind of the transformation and everything that's gone into it, I know that, you know, for us to host this kind of a big event, it's such a wonderful deal. Mm-hmm. There's so much Wisconsin and Green Bay involvement in it. A lot of community people, you know, people that couldn't travel, all these other places now get to experience a big NFL event right here in Wisconsin. This is a really cool deal for us here, just as a sports community at large in Wisconsin. I think, you know, it's free to get into, so if people are going to go experience it, I would say go do it. I don't know that we'll ever get this chance again in this generation, so go experience this. It's really cool.
And we got our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who knows the Packers like the back of his hand. He's going to be there the entire time bringing us insight, interviews, so really looking forward to Mike's reporting up there for the draft.
Yes, Mike Clemens will be there on site to get handling all that for us. I've covered the NFL draft a few times in my career. It's a really, really cool deal. I think that if you're a fan and you really want to check out something cool sports-wise this month, the NFL draft is it. Go check it out. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Milwaukee Brewers on the air tonight starting at 8:10 for the pregame show. It's a late one because they are out west against the San Francisco Giants for, what, a four-game series out there against the Giants. Over the weekend, so great to see these young guys, Jimmy, on the Brewers, the rookies, having big days, and that's super cool, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that were really worried about them at the early rocky starts, you know, a couple of blowouts, even the manager addressed. They've had like four big blowout games. It's going to take some time. They replaced a lot of pieces. Willie Adames going to San Francisco is a good example. You have to figure out what you're doing on the left side of the infield. Your pitching staff, I think they overturned over half of their pitching staff, including the closer on the back end of it. There's so much that has to come together for a baseball team to work. The Brewers don't have a budget to do this like other teams do, where they just got to spend. They're doing this, nickel and diming it, and they're figuring it out. They're finding ways to be competitive through it. A lot of credit to that. And it is fun. Brewers baseball is a fun experience any day you go.
Tonight at 8:10 for the broadcast, the pregame show on select stations across Civic Media. Jimmy Cuska, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great day, Jimmy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Hour two is next. Come on back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things Wisconsin and the news with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The faithful gathering in St. Peter's Square this hour in Rome, where the Vatican is leading a rosary prayer service to honor Pope Francis, who died earlier today. Francis, who became known as the People's Pope, traveled the world up until he was hospitalized recently for double pneumonia. The 88-year-old pontiff participated in Easter Sunday services and rode through St. Peter's Square greeting the crowd. Vice President Vance met with the Pope Sunday at the Vatican. ABC's Rachel Scott says President Trump has ordered flags be flown at half-staff across the country in his honor.
President Trump met with Pope Francis just once in 2017. He had called it the honor of a lifetime, but there were some disagreements in their relationship, specifically on immigration. Recently, when Pope Francis was asked about the president's mass deportation plans, he said if true, it would be disgraceful, warning that it would end very badly.
After his funeral, cardinals will convene and choose his successor. This is ABC News.